Well, over the last few weeks, we've been looking at these resurrection appearances of Jesus ever since that first Easter Sunday. And this morning, I want us to focus in on the time where the risen Lord Jesus sat, or perhaps stood, with Peter on the shore of the Lake of Galilee and asked him three questions. Three questions which were, in fact, one question, slightly different format. And the question was this: Peter, do you love me enough to be all that I want you to be? Now that's a question, isn't it? Think how you would respond to that. Do you love me enough to be all that I want you to be? Last week we began to look at this by thinking about that enormous catch that the Lord had blessed his disciples with, 153 large fish. Well, that enormous catch has now been gathered away, and they have eaten the breakfast that the Lord had prepared for them. And it was after that that Jesus now confronts Peter. And it is a confrontational scene. And he confronts him with a challenge which goes right into Peter's heart. And in doing so, Jesus deliberately makes Peter feel uncomfortable. You notice that? And the reason he does so is because the love he has for Peter, which is great, is equaled by the love he has for his church as a body of people, and for the mission that he has given his church, the mission which is uppermost always in the mind and heart of Jesus. He loves us, but he loves that we can serve him too. And we can share with others this wonderful message of salvation. And therefore, at this point, he deliberately challenges Peter because of the immense importance of the work that he has for Peter to do from that moment on. So he wants to make sure Peter knows where he's at and that Peter is ready to do what God wants him to do. Now, several days before this, in fact, just before the crucifixion, Peter had shown himself to be quite weak, really, when it came to standing for the Lord Jesus Christ in a time of crisis. He had let his Lord down. He had denied his Lord three times. And it was a denial that was made so much worse because of the promises that Peter had made about his readiness to die, to go to prison or to die, before he would ever forsake his Lord Jesus Christ. And these were promises that were made loudly. And they were made in public. They were made before the other disciples. And they were promises that were made very much in his own strength. These promises are recorded in each and every one of the four Gospels, which makes them extremely significant to us. And we, as we read those promises, and as we read about them, and we read about the occasion on which they were made, we note straight away that they were made at a time, or a point of time, where everything was extremely emotionally charged for the disciples and for Jesus. For they were made directly after Jesus had eaten with them the Last Supper. That last meal, that Passover meal. Directly after Judas had left the room to go and betray Jesus. And directly after Jesus had gathered the disciples together and took them out of that room singing a hymn until they came to the Mount of Olives. So it was also directly before the event that we know as Gethsemane. So you can see it's full of emotion this time. And Matthew records it in this way. In Matthew 20, 31 to 35. Then Jesus told them, all of the disciples, except of Judas, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. Now fancy being told that. Think of it for a moment. Then he goes on. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. I don't think anyone heard about the risen bit. Then Peter replied, Even if all others fall away on account of you, I never will. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered. This very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. But Peter declared strongly, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same. It is noticeable that all the other disciples followed Peter's lead. They all said the same thing. But it was Peter who was the most vocal. And it was Peter who made it most certain that even if all of these other disciples around Jesus, even if they were to leave him, he never would. He was Simon Peter, self-appointed leader of this group. And he was confident in his own strength and his own power. Yet Peter did deny the Lord Jesus Christ, as we well know. That night, when Jesus was on trial for his life, Peter in that courtyard betrayed Jesus. When Peter no longer had the sword in his hand to give him some courage. When he no longer had the others around him to support him. When Peter came face to face with the enemy as he saw those who were against Jesus and gathered there. It just took 2 questions from 2 servant girls for him to declare that he never even knew Jesus. And to do so with an oath. And when the pressure began to build up from then on, because it did, for John tells us that then a whole group came to him to challenge him. And the person who challenged him in that group was the relative of the guy whose ear Peter had just chopped off. Now that's pressure, isn't it? That when they said to him, we are certain you were with him. Then we read that Peter began to curse and carry on and to swear that Jesus was nothing to him. And Luke tells us something very interesting at that moment. He tells us in chapter 22, verse 61, that at very moment the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Whether he was just being pulled, dragged through the courtyard at that time, I don't know. He turned and looked at Peter. And the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter, Luke said. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times. And Peter then broke down and wept bitterly. And now, here on the beach, he's with the resurrected Lord. And Jesus looks once more directly at Peter. And once again, Peter is reminded of his threefold denial by the threefold repetition of the same question. Do you love me? And the importance of these questions is emphasized by the fact that when Jesus addresses Peter now, he uses Peter's full name. Simon, son of John. It makes it kind of like a legal thing, doesn't it? Like a commissioning thing. Simon, son of John, do you love me? And it's obvious the other disciples are still around, because even as his denial, or as his promises that he would not deny, were public, so now these promises are just as public. This response to this question. So each time he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And with the first question, Jesus adds more than these. Did you notice that? Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? I think Jesus was referring to the other disciples. I think he comes in more than these guys. And straight away, Peter would have been reminded of his arrogance and his self-trust that he displayed when he had declared that his support was so much greater for Jesus than that of the other disciples. And therefore, he would never deny him. Even if the others did, he never would. Yet now he realizes that like those other disciples, he too had been found wanting. His will and his strength had let him down. Didn't think they would, but they had. When the pressure was on, he had fallen. But you know something else? Peter knew in his heart that his emotional love for Jesus had never failed. He had denied him, but he had never stopped loving him. So his response to Jesus now, when Jesus asked that first question, is, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And it is here that the Greek words used for love in this passage come into play very strongly. For whereas Jesus used a Greek word for love, the word agape, Peter used a different word in response, the word phileo. Now the word agape for love, which Jesus used, talks of God's love as a powerful sacrificial love, which is unconditional, which wills itself never to stop giving to friend or enemy, even if it means giving up one's life to do so. Peter's word speaks of love from the heart. It's love which tends to be conditional. It tends to be love because you emotionally like that person. It tends to be love that sometimes stops short of the courageous acts that agape love does so well. Now, I'm sure this morning we can all sympathise with Peter as he faces Jesus and answers that question. It is as if he is saying to Jesus, "I know now that in myself I can't promise the type of love that will face death rather than let you down. I thought I could, but now I realise I can't. But I will always love you. I will always love you from my heart." And you know, and I say this, I think every Christian, I know I too have felt that at times, where I know that I love Jesus and will always love him, but I haven't felt confident in my reaction if I were asked to sacrifice my life or the life of others for the Lord and for the gospel. Whether I'm able to take my love to that next level. I don't know how you feel. But the wonderful thing is that Jesus still responds to Peter with the commission. He still wants Peter to serve him. He doesn't say, "Well, you don't make the grade then, Peter. If you can't make that love and only that love, you don't get there." He still commissions him. He still sends him out to do his work. He still wants Peter to be part of, a big part, of that global mission that Christ has of touching the world with his love and his salvation. He still wants Peter to feed his lambs, to care for and to feed his sheep. I think that's great. Indeed, you know, when Jesus asked Peter a third time, "Do you love me?" Jesus uses Peter's word for love. Some say that Jesus has just lowered a level or something. Or I'm not sure. I think that he may have well been saying to Peter, "Look, Peter, do you then love me with that heart type of love? And Peter, who is feeling the pressure so much at this moment, it's the third time he's been asked. He's feeling hurt. And he blurts out, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I have always loved you. Even though I wasn't able to take my love to that next level on that fateful night when I denied you. Even though I let you down. Lord, you know that despite my fears and limitations, I love you." And isn't that where we are? That we say to the Lord, "Lord, I'm conscious of my limitations. I know I've let you down. But I love you. And I want to give myself to you, and I want you to work through me." If you go back later on today and read this whole passage again, I hope you will, you will discover that Jesus went on from this moment. He not only confirmed that he would use Peter for his kingdom, but he confirmed that the time would come when Peter's love would reach that supreme level where he would actually lay down his life for Jesus and for the gospel. Where he would be taken, his arms would be stretched out, even as Jesus' arms were stretched out. And so they suggest that this is a prediction that he would die by crucifixion, which is actually what happened to Peter. And that he would die. Why? Because God, the Holy Spirit, would have transformed his life and enabled him to do in God's strength that which he could never do in his own strength. So this meeting of the resurrected Jesus with Peter is very important. It's extremely important. Teaches us a lot about Jesus, doesn't it? And also a lot about Peter. But it also has important things to say to us as believers today. Yeah, it first lets us know, I think this is important, that Jesus does hold us accountable for our failings. When we let him down, too often his work on earth suffers, doesn't it? We lose our call at one particular point, and the person that we've been sharing to about Christianity for so long says, "Well, if that's your Christianity." Or something else we do, we don't make the stand when we should do. And we let his work down. And when we do that, he desires that we take our failings seriously. Jesus won't pretend, he won't just pretend that it never happened, you know. And neither should we. The Holy Spirit is present in our hearts to convict us of these things, to lead us to repentance and renewal. And this is particularly the case when we fail to make the stand for Christ that he wants us to. But the wonderful thing is that we confess our sins and he is faithful and just to forgive us. He never holds our failings against us. I don't think he was holding them against Peter here. He simply calls us to reaffirm our love for him and then gives us more opportunities to serve him again and again. And the second thing is that this whole passage assures us that God knows our hearts. As Peter said, "Look, you know everything. You know I love you." And Jesus does. He knows our hearts. He knows the limitations of our human love for him and his people. He knows that we can hear that story about the guy who invited John Cardigan to come and sit next to him in that pew, and we're thinking, "I'm not sure I could do that." He knows our limitations. He knew it in Peter and he knows it in us. But what he gave to Peter that enabled Peter to be absolutely transformed in his love, he has also given to us. He's given to every believer. You know what it is? It is the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is the power of the Holy Spirit within the believer working to change us and to change our loving, to take us to the next level again and again and again in our loving.
And this is what Romans 5, 1 to 5 says. And I want to finish with this passage today in the contemporary English version. And it says this: by faith, we have been made acceptable to God. What a powerful statement that is. We are justified by faith, is the way it's in the NIV. By faith, we have been made acceptable to God. Just by faith. Just by believing in Jesus Christ and asking to be our Lord and Saviour. What a wonderful promise that is. And now, because of our Lord Jesus Christ, we live at peace with God. It's getting even better. Christ has also introduced us to God's undeserved kindness, God's grace, on which we take our stand. So we are happy as we look forward to sharing in the glory of God. Amen. Hallelujah. That's wonderful. But that's not all. We gladly suffer because we know that suffering helps us to endure. And endurance builds character, which gives us a hope that will never disappoint us. All of this happens because God has given us the Holy Spirit, who does what? Who fills our hearts with His love. Not human love, but His love. The love that will do outstanding things for God. And that's the love that the Holy Spirit gives us. You may, and are aware, as I'm aware, of our limitations. And there are times when you get to that situation where you're put on the spot and you think, I love Jesus, but I'm not sure I can do this. And then you say, Lord, I can't do it, but you can by your Spirit within me. Fill me with that power of that love that can do all things in Christ Jesus.